Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. Got some fun ones today, Kyle. How we doing?
Just about had an aneurysm here trying to get this thing started.
I know.
Almost lost my mind.
It wouldn't be a Draft Dudes pre-show without you losing your mind at some point. It was too much happiness. It was bound to happen.
I did the big Catalina update on my iMac.
Yeah.
And it's like, I did it last night. It took about 3 hours, like you told me it would.
Yeah.
And then
Good job doing it last night, during the middle of your workday. Good job.
Yeah. Planned ahead. Yeah. But I get down here at like 12:30. It's 1:15. I get down here at 12:30 and I'm like, then it starts taking me through prompts as far as get to know the new Catalina, and it's simultaneously opening up a bunch of shit on my computer that I don't typically use, so it's super slow, and then the web browser's not working. So I'm ready to talk a little football and just kind of settle back. You know how I get.
Right, yeah. We were smooth sailing there, man, and then it was, you know, he got all mad, and I'm like, how are we going to do this? But here we are.
Was I more angry than the people at your mock draft yesterday?
Man, the people read the mock draft. Let's start there. Holy shnikes, a lot of people read that thing.
Can I give you a stat on that real quick?
Sure.
Your mock draft is the most read thing on the website since May 1st.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And... But you're irrelevant for 11 months out of the year.
I am. It's
what we've been told.
Giants fans were pissed, Kyle. Pissed. They were picking, I think, whatever, the third in the draft?
Third
overall. Yeah. So had Burrow go one to the Bengals, had Chase Young go number two to the Redskins, and the Giants are on the clock. And I gave them Jerry Jeudy, and there was nothing the Giants fans wanted to see less than Jerry Jeudy as the pick. They let me hear it all day long. And what they really wanted, Kyle, was Chase Young. And
who's not on really the board.
That was the part where I was just like, you can argue other needs with me, value, all that type of stuff, but don't sit here and talk to me about Chase Young who wasn't available. But that's who they wanted.
That's like peak mock draft reader bitching. There's no reason. You don't have a leg to stand on.
Right. I kind of went back to like, okay, guys, let's back off the ledge here. But you got $60 million in cap space. You have potentially 12 picks in the draft if the compensatory picks go as scheduled. You can get your edge rusher somewhere else.
It's a good class, too.
Jesus, like, I gave your top 10 quarterback who needs as much help as he can an elite go-to receiver to go with Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley in an NFL that is about passing the football, and you didn't want it. I can't wait for 6 weeks from now for me to give him Jerry Jeudy again. Let's have this party one more time. Hey, you're up on Monday, brother. The choice is yours.
Yeah, I think I might give him Jerry Jeudy. I can tell you who I'm not going to give him, Chase Young. Because... Chase Young ain't going to be available when the Giants are on the clock. Most likely. We know better than to speak in absolutes with this thing. But you dumped on somebody with that. Somebody said, absolutely 0% chance this happens. And then you're like, well, actually, here's about five examples of people saying the exact same thing last year that actually came true. Like Drew Lock falling into the 40s.
A.J. Brown to 51.
Yeah.
The Giants would not take a secondary player in the first round. Hi, DeAndre Baker. That the Packers would have no interest in Rashawn Gary. Hello, they took him first. The other one was from the year prior where there's no chance the Bills would draft Josh Allen. So, I mean, just don't.
Speaking in absolutes in November is about as dumb a thing as you can possibly do.
And those were all, like, I think, post 1-1. So like even further into the process, there's no way that'll happen. You want to look like a clown? Say that and see what happens.
I should have hooked you up. I'll never forget the guy who went on like a 10 tweet tirade at me. I gave Oakland Mike McGlinchey in like the beginning of February. And this dude's like, I live in Colorado and I can't even get my hands on weed that would make me think that's a good idea. Give me some of whatever you're smoking, you effing idiot. Da, 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 da. They would never take an offensive tackle. Fast forward April, they took Colton Miller at 50.
No, I thought it was Colton Miller originally. I thought because we had some information there, so we kept on mocking Colton Miller to the Raiders, and everyone was just getting pissed at us, right?
No, the one that set this guy off was the because it was in February was the tweet.
Okay. So then we got the rate. Then we, because there's a lot of people that went after us for the Colton Miller thing, and then that happened. It's like, oh.
Right. Well, they really liked him, and McGlinchey was off the board. So there you go. Next best guy they like, which is Colton Miller, who's actually playing pretty good this year.
Yeah, good for him. He's developed nicely. We have some Raiders talking points in this take. So on
takes. Good. Yeah, the Raiders fans are very happy with us. So this will be good to maybe get back on their good side. I don't know.
You want the first one?
I do.
Oh, okay. All right. This is from Darren.
Were you expecting me to say no?
I never know. You probably didn't want the second one, and so you picked the first one is my guess. And the third one's pretty good. But I like the fourth one. All right, here we go. From Darren, Brady, Winston, Mariota, Rivers, Flacco, Trubisky, Fitz, Tannehill, Finley, Newton, and Breeze. No more than three of them will be starting for the current teams next season. Kyle, it's time to work through these things yes or no, right?
Yeah.
See if we can find three?
This is a layup. This is an easy more than... Excuse me, the Diet Coke got me there. This is easily more than three. Tom Brady. Yes, he's on the Patriots next year. Right?
Yeah. I James couldn't imagine Winston, my life without it.
Jameis Winston will be somewhere else.
No, yeah, agreed. Agreed. So we got
Marcus
one.
Marcus Mariota will be somewhere else.
Yep, we still got one.
Phillip Rivers will be in L.A. with the Chargers again.
Kyle, I don't know if I can watch him play quarterback anymore, man.
He's brutal. Right,
it hurts. This is more painful than Peyton in his final year.
Well, actually, then let's come back to this. Does he hang it up at the end of the year?
Man, he might need to.
He should.
Seriously, dude. Like, he can't throw, man. It's painful to watch this guy. Call it a push?
We'll come back to it.
All right.
Is Flacco in a contract year?
I don't know.
Come on, get your producer.
Yeah, producer's working on it. Joe Flacco, spotrack.com. Good buddies there from Western New York. Bills fan run Spotrack. There's some information for you that nobody cared about. Now you have it. No,
you're right. I don't care at all.
Yeah, but it filled the time. I
physically could not care less.
I'm here to tell you that Joe Flacco is under contract through 2021.
All right. I think Joe Flacco starts for Denver next year.
Okay. So there's two that are staying.
I mean, even if they draft another quarterback this year, who are you going to take that's going to start week one?
Not Herbert.
Right.
You didn't like Locke. You're not starting Herbert week one.
Right. Herbert's better than Locke, in my opinion. Pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think you'd start him over Joe Flacco.
No. You'd want to play him when he's ready, and I think that'll be the case there.
All right, so then we're going to go with confirmed right now. Brady and Flacco, yes. Rivers, maybe, if he doesn't retire.
Okay.
Trubisky.
That dude looked beat up after the game, man. Just head down, wouldn't make eye contact during his presser.
Yeah.
Just
mentally defeated human being.
He does.
Which is very unfortunate.
Meanies on Twitter, man.
Well, that's why he wanted to turn all the TVs off and... Chicago HQ. He's tired of the negativity.
All right, so that's a no.
He shouldn't. I don't know if they'll move on though.
Yeah, I gotta have somewhere to go, right?
Yeah, where are you gonna go? You gonna sign Winston?
Well, there's two names that I think are interesting for Matt Nagy, and they're Marcus Mariota and Andy Dalton. So,
I still like Cam.
We'll talk Cam in a minute.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's under contract. I would not be surprised if he's back. And if the Dolphins end up taking Tua Tagovailoa, I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
That would give us three.
Okay.
Tannehill start in Tennessee. Lock it in.
There it is. Miami even Dolphins if, quarterback factory.
Even if they end up taking a quarterback in the first round.
Offense has better, been better with Tanny, right? Like,
yeah,
everyone can
they've
that.
Been really good in the red zone. And yeah. Ryan Finley, yeah, he's out. He will not start. Cam Newton, if he's back, yeah. Might not be back.
Yeah.
They're going to need questions for compensation and a potential trade going into a contract year. But then I think it's null and void because I think Breeze comes back. I think Breeze is playing well enough that we're not going to put retirement on the table for him, right?
No, I think Breeze is back. So no more than three was the take. Did we get
We got Brady, Flacco, Fitz, Breeze, Newton, and potentially Rivers.
And the more I think about Cam, man, I think maybe the best thing for everyone is for him to just be on Carolina next year.
Well, I think we're starting to see the full body of work of Kyle Allen, and it's nowhere right. near as pretty as what we thought it would be, right?
Funny how that goes.
Well, let's not use a 5-game sample size.
Yeah.
And he looks horrible lately.
He does, and more tape that's out on him. You know, obviously it makes it more favorable for teams to game plan, but like I've always said, it's not a Cam versus Kyle Allen conversation. It's a Cam versus can he stay healthy conversation and right. protecting your team by having a legitimate quarterback. So there's that.
Well, I think Carolina has flexibility because Cam is in a contract year. I would say Cam's back at this point based on Kyle Allen continuing to be terrible.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So we'll take the plus on three.
Yeah.
Even if it was just Brady, Flacco, Newton, and Breeze. Never mind Fitz, but I think Fitz is back, and I think
those three plus maybe one of the others. I think we get to four, right?
Right, and Rivers.
There's not that much turnover at quarterback in the NFL, right?
Like, right. Yeah. And we got Tannehill too, so I'll take the plus on three.
Take the okay. Over.
Take from Seth Steer. John Greener, the pass rusher from Florida, is a first round talent. Wins with speed and power, affects the run and the pass. He can win around the edge. And he can win inside because of his first step. There isn't much he can't do.
I like John Greener a ton. I think there's a couple things working against him in terms of being a first round pick. Is first of all, he's an older prospect, sat out and transferred. He's been injured. He's an older player, and this is a deep edge class. So I think he kind of gets lost up in that mix of the second/third tier edge rushers that could go in the late 20s, and they're going to be dispersed somewhere between 25 and 50. And I think he kind of gets lost in the sauce there a little bit, winds up not being a first round pick, but he's a very appealing player, and he's obviously playing great this year. Next one here comes from Joe Bexer, who says, oh gosh, pumpkin pie is a top two pie.
Yes.
Yeah, good take. It's number one, right? Like, what are we doing here?
I got a lot of pushback for pumpkin pie.
Chris Schubert.
Because some,
I thought I liked him.
Some phonies did a nationwide poll of favorite pie by state, and not a single state in the union, the continental U.S., recognized pumpkin pie as the best pie.
It's why I never believe any of that trash that comes across my timeline.
It's bullshit.
Never.
Oh, this reminds me, I have to give you a hard time. You remember when we saw one of these for candy?
Mm-hmm.
And what was North Carolina's favorite candy?
Milk Duds.
And you had some pushback against that, didn't you?
Yeah, and I had good reasoning why. I legitimately worked in retail for a long time, and candy was a staple of the things we sold, and Milk Duds were always getting thrown out. Because we couldn't sell them before they expired.
So then why were you at a Halloween party eating Milk Duds?
It's one of those deals where I don't eat a ton of candy, all right? And it was appealing to me because it's what I wanted.
Told you were sucking them down by the box.
I had two of the mini boxes of Milk Duds. I understand you even have pictures of this.
I do. Yes, you're right. I do. It's documented.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I have nothing to hide there. It doesn't validate the claim that Milk Dud is North Carolina's favorite candy. Just like, what did they have? Lemon pie is the Southeast preferred pie.
Texas's pie was key lime pie.
Get out of here. I've been to Thanksgivings at multiple people in the Southeast house, and never once has a lemon pie been available for somebody to eat.
Lemon pie is good, though.
I'm sure it is, but it's not number one. Because you know what you can't do, Kyle? You can't put out a graphic of the entire United States and just say, pumpkin pie is the one everyone likes.
The whole thing's just pumpkin.
And here we are on the freaking Draft Dudes podcast discussing people's pie preferences.
Losing our shit over it.
Yeah, they got it right. Congratulations.
I was just going to start blocking any accounts that have those then.
Take
from Vontel. Let's get back on the track. I like this take a lot.
Vontel brings us something good every week, man. He does.
He does. He's a great follow, too. I follow him on Twitter. If you had the chance to be a GM for one of these teams, how would you rank based off preference?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons, Arizona Cardinals, Carolina Panthers, or Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'd rank them Panthers, Falcons, Cardinals, Jaguars.
Why?
Carolina, number one, is the chance to work with Dave Tepper, who I know will give me everything I would ever need to be successful in terms of scouting budget, facilities, investing in what I need for my players from a coaching perspective. I know there'd be no expense not available to me to do what I need to do. And I like their nucleus, right? So they've got good players in play. So it's not like a big rebuild. Falcons, similar situation where I feel like, you know, I've got an amazing brand new stadium. I'm in a good place. Atlanta's a destination type city where I think people want to be. You know, I think I have a lot of good pieces in place already there and a owner that's willing to spend. And I think that's important. Who would I put third? I put Cardinals third.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get excited about having your young quarterback in Kyler Murray. I don't necessarily love the mentality of that leadership out there in Arizona. It's driven on some funky things. And I know that
some business.
Yeah. It's
more business oriented than football oriented.
Yeah. And I know that the ownership will overrule the GM. So, maybe don't want to be part of that. And Jacksonville. Well, I don't know. I'm a heartbeat away from playing in a foreign country. I feel like, and I don't know. It's just,
that's an interesting, I would have looked at it from more of a personnel and assets perspective.
It's hot as shit in Florida too. So I don't like that.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's hot in Arizona as well.
Well, that's why it was third, Kyle. It's hot in Atlanta. I got all hot places here.
If you're taking any of these jobs, how confident are you that you have your long-term head coach?
None of them. Not one.
That was an interesting layer to this question for me, too. It's like, well, I could feasibly come in, and based on the momentum at the end of the year, I could make a decision to clean house. And everybody except for Arizona, you know, you don't feel good about the long-term answer at quarterback, too.
I'd want to handpick my coach as a GM, Kyle. And I think in most of those situations, except for Arizona, I would be able to go in there and start fresh with my new coach.
Well, isn't that so messed up, though? Because the vast majority of regime changes that you see, they don't get that opportunity. And then you're a year and a half in and there's friction because it wasn't your coach. And then you got to fire the coach. And it's so ass backwards sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. How would you rank them just real quick here? I know we're spending a lot of time.
I would probably lean Panthers 1, Jaguars 2, because the Khan family is very, they're like Tepper in that they will provide what's necessary, right? And I really like the Jaguars have been a team that pretty consistently has drafted according to my quote unquote brand. They have a lot of players.
You get two first round picks too.
Yeah. I'm super high on a lot of the core players that they have, defensive side of the football, making sure I'm retaining Yannick Ngakoue, like kind of the physical style of play that they bring to the table. Some exciting young players like DJ Chark, blah, 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 blah. I'd probably go Cardinals 3 because of the established quarterback, and Falcons would be 4.
Why is there a compelling reason why Falcons are 4?
I just think they have the least amount of boxes checked for what I would want to start with as a starting
point. But Let me sell you on this. Your uniform colors are black and red and white, and you get a chance to potentially rebrand that.
It's fine. I can do that in Arizona too.
Man, did I tell? I think I said this to either you or Paige when we were in Alabama. The Pat Tillman Arizona Cardinals uniforms.
You said this to Paige, but you're spot on. This is accurate.
Great uniforms. Great. Clean. The two stripes on the side of the pants is classic. Oh, it's a good look. It is a good look. All right, here we go. From Sam, who says, if the Raiders make the playoffs, John Gruden should be coach of the year.
Not unless the 49ers have a complete collapse and the Ravens fall flat on their face. What Gruden's been able to do in Oakland is no doubt impressive, and they have a favorable schedule for a stretch run to finish with 10 wins and then potentially make the playoffs as a wild card team. But you think about what we're seeing with two of the more unique teams in the NFL, and we've talked about this pretty extensively on the show, Joe, talking about the rushing attack that the 49ers have and the general offense that we've seen and how Harbaugh and company have completely revamped their style of play and their philosophy for how to construct an offense and play a football game to work around their quarterback in Lamar Jackson, I think has been one of the best examples of coaching to your player strengths that we've seen in a very long time in the NFL. So Gruden's certainly in the top five, maybe top three, but I would still lean towards some of these kind of more dominant teams at this point versus Gruden.
Yeah, I think maybe Mike Zimmer deserves some consideration at this point in the discussion as well. So
yeah, especially with how they started. Yeah. You know, they things got real ugly there. Diggs wasn't happy, and after the first three games, they've turned around. So,
yep.
Joe, I feel confident in our ability to work through the next 9 takes in 10 minutes. How about you?
All right, let's cook,
because we're in trouble. We're 22 minutes right now.
I know we're spending forever here. Here we go.
It's too much time talking about maps and
pie
and updates and okay. Here we go. Trevor Joseph.
Yep.
All right. New vocabulary for Joe take.
It's a good one, too.
In a relatively weak interior offensive line class, Nick Harris and Logan Stenberg are two crackerjack players who will ascend into day two conversations during the pre-draft process. I'm assuming crackerjack is the
vocab word here. It's got to be. And crackerjacks have eaten them before. Did not realize this was a word, and it's actually a good word that I probably will find reasons to use.
So it's defined reports now.
Yeah, this will go in reports. It's defined as exceptionally good.
What a great brand for a snack.
Right.
That's genius.
Right. I mean, I don't. Here we go. We're off the rails. But that's a great word. Exceptionally good. You know?
Brilliant.
Great. Yeah. So yeah, I like both those players. Nick Harris, Logan Stenberg. Nick Harris, center from Washington. Logan Stenberg, guard from Kentucky. I think they're starting caliber players, day two type offensive linemen. And there's been a lot of really good day two offensive linemen from the 2019 draft that are starting and making big contributions. And I think both of those guys have that type of makeup to be players we talk about at this point next year as very valuable starters as rookie. All right. So Cameron Spencer says, Cortland Sutton, hello, wide receiver one, is the most underappreciated wide receiver in the NFL right now. Despite an average at best quarterback, he's currently on pace for 78 catches, 1,288 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
This is a correct take. And you know who you don't have to blame for Cortland Sutton being underrated? The Draft Dudes podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe had him wide receiver one. I had him wide receiver one in 2018. He was my 19th overall player. I comped him to T.O., said he would be a physical X receiver at the NFL level, play through press coverage and stack defenders with size and physicality. Best skill was run after the catch ability. He's on pace for 78 for almost 1,300 yards. Big play every week waiting to happen. This is a good take. Nobody talks about Cortland Sutton.
And there's nobody. I mean, they throw the ball to Noah Font a good amount, but in terms of receivers, they've been trying to find wide receiver two over there since they trade away Emmanuel Sanders. I know Tim Patrick had some plays against Minnesota, but he's the guy, right? And that's a pretty telling thing that you're putting up those types of numbers with bad quarterback play when there's not a whole lot else to account for in the passing game.
Yep. All right. Take from Dion. Dak Prescott is better than Carson Wentz. Change my mind.
I don't think I need to. I think it's a good take.
Yeah. This point, it most certainly
yeah, at
is.
This point. 2 years ago, I'd have disagreed big time with you, but those guys are playing differently right now. Give me Dak over Wentz right now. Michael Christopher.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if Dallas didn't extend Dak?
Just let him walk?
I don't know about just let him walk, but like tag and trade, or they don't get an extension with him. Like, he's getting a monster deal. And he should. Yeah. He would deserve one. But it's just, I'm sitting here and I just kind of had the thought where I'm like, I wonder what would happen if Dak left Dallas.
I bet you the Bears, man, I bet you they'd freaking love to have Dak. Could you imagine Dak in that offense?
Give him to me in South Beach, Joe.
Calm down, Kyle. You don't get to accelerate the process like that. Although you could, I mean, you could give up a couple, you could get that done with what you got right now. You can do it.
Right.
Would you give away three I mean, it's probably going to be all three of those ones, right? Let's just be honest. Peel off the Band-Aid, give them all three ones this year. You get Dak Prescott.
No, I'll give you 3-26, which is the Texans pick, and the Texans first round pick next year.
So you want some mid-round first pick?
I want another first round pick because I still need to build my offense around Dak.
All right, I'll say, okay, I want... You can keep the Texans pick this year, but I want
both next year.
I want Steelers. Yeah.
Oh, so now I'm only getting the 26 pick. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because I'm probably going to take that pick and trade it back and create more picks.
He'd be perfect.
There you go. All right.
All right. Michael Christopher says there will be no wide receiver that goes in the top 10 this year because the position is so deep. Teams will focus on premium positions and Judy and Lamb will slide on draft night. Teams picking in the top 10 need quarterback, offensive line, pass rushers, and corners.
This is pretty realistic. I know I've seen some simulations. That was not a poke fun at the Giants taking Judy.
No, I think I'm a little surprised this is what you said here.
Well, I've done a lot of simulations with the mock draft machine, and I've gotten outputs that have had Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb on the board at like 11 and 12, and it's like, oh, I'm surprised they're there, but then you look at the fits of the players that went elsewhere, and it's like, well, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong, I think Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are blue chip players, but, you know, if we're going to put the premium on pass rushers, you're going to have three pass rushers in the first 10 picks that have a chance to go. Well, if you count interior, because you're going to have Derek Brown, okay, Chase Young, interior, and AJ Epinesa. Yeah. So okay. That's three.
You think
you're
so?
You're probably going to get at least two quarterbacks with Herbert and Burrow. Tua, if he slides, or if he doesn't slide, you're up to six. If you go Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, you're up to eight. That hasn't gotten into Jeff Okuda, which is not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of a numbers game where I could at least see it being feasible.
2014, the year it was Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Cooks.
Evans went at seven, right?
Well, there's a lot of other good player receivers, but, you know, guys that we talked about as first rounders. Watkins went four, Evans seven, Beckham 12. This is also a draft that had good prospects at the time, Jordan Matthews, Paul Richardson, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, John Brown, Steele. I don't know, man. I think at least one of those guys goes in the top 10.
Let's talk about the rest of that class. That Clowney was in that class as a pass rusher. Mack was in that class as a pass
Matthews,
rusher. Anthony Barr.
Yeah. Jake Matthews was in there.
Quarterback class wasn't good.
No, it was Bridgewater, Carr, and was it Manziel?
So that's the difference.
I think at least one, maybe two. I think between Judy, Ruggs, Lamb, probably two of those go in the top 10.
I would set the over-under at 1.5, and I'll probably take the under.
Jesus, Greg Robinson was the second pick in this draft, and Blake Bortles was third.
Yeah, I know.
Justin Gilbert went eighth. This is terrible.
We've spiraled down another rabbit hole.
Oh, my. Yeah, the 14 draft will drive you nuts. Because then you go through Eric Ebron at 10, and then it's like, oh, Odell Beckham at 12, Aaron Donald at 13, Kyle Fuller at 14, Ryan Shazier 15, Zach Martin 16, CJ Mosley 17. Like, reverse those picks with the top picks. All right, we got to move on.
Raider faithful.
Yep. Okay.
Raiders had the best draft in 2019.
Man, I want to spend a lot of time and look at that. But one thing whenever I get tasked with these types of questions is I try not to overcompensate for teams that had a lot of picks. You know, I think it's easy to be like, oh, this team won the draft. Well, they had three first round picks. And let's be honest, Cleveland Farrell has not been that great as a top five pick.
How dare you, sir?
He's not been that great as a top five pick. And John Abram isn't helping this team at all. I know that Jacobs has been unbelievable as a running back. That winds up being a good pick.
Which Hunter we knew was coming.
Right. Hunter Renfrow's been the slot receiver we all thought he would be, right? That's not like a surprise. Foster Moreau's got four receiving touchdowns. Good for him. Max Crosby, after four sacks against the Bengals, is up to 6.5 on the year. And now it's all of a sudden looking like he's going to be this, you know, lights out player. Trayvon Mullen's getting some run now, right? Like,
they did what they needed to do, right?
Like, to me, they met expectations. Like, good job.
Yeah, I think Mike Mayock in his first draft, working with John Gruden, the work that the Raiders did should definitely be applauded. Right. But as you said, not only the volume of picks, the opportunity based on the personnel that you have.
To just get any player, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just these rookies have been given a lot of opportunities because of the Raiders had absolutely nothing at pass rusher before the year. They had nothing. They had Arden Key, that's it. And what's right. Arden Key doing? Right? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think that what does Hunter Renfrow's season look like if Antonio Brown doesn't strong arm his way off the Raiders?
That might be, yeah. They've
had opportunistic rookies to take advantage of the fact that the Raiders were in a position to put more rookies than effectively any other team in the league on the field and play. And those guys have been ready to play, and the Raiders deserve to be applauded for that.
I think here's the challenge that I have with this question is you had three first round picks and I don't think two of them were good
this year. Still a lot of story left.
John Abram, what you saw this year is going to be a microcosm of his whole freaking career. If anyone watched a second of his tape at Mississippi State, a wild, reckless football player.
But he can be a had a shoulder problem going.
Yeah, but look, he had that shoulder problem. He got red flagged at the Senior Bowl. It's going to be it's always going to be a problem for him.
Yeah. Let's not be prisoners of the moment.
Right.
But I would say it would be fair to say the Raiders have obviously gotten more production out of their rookie class than any other team in the NFL.
There's no question. Kyle, if I told you in August that the AFC wildcard teams would be the Bills and Raiders, you would call for my head. And it's a possibility.
Not so much. We knew the Bills were going to build.
Vegas had them at 6.5 as the over under.
Well, I would have taken the over on that. I thought they had a realistic chance to win between 7 and 9 games this year.
Yeah, I thought that was a reasonable spot. Yeah. And they still got a lot to do here to get to the playoffs. So,
He's getting a little rattled. We got three takes.
Yeah, let's cook. Jared, this is for you, right? Jared says Clemson is as complete a team as anyone in college football. They have a better roster than they did last year. Whoa. And I think they can beat both LSU and Ohio State if they played either in the playoff.
Wrong. I think Ohio State's the best team in football.
I do too. Maybe even LSU. I think where Jared loses me here is by saying that they're a better team than they were last year.
Yeah. They're just not going to get first round picks and Austin Bryan on your defensive line last year.
They're better. Plus Hunter Renfrow was on that team. Their offensive line's playing good for the first time in 105 years. I don't know.
Their linebackers might be better.
Yeah, anytime you get Trey Lamar off the field. Yep.
All right. Seth Steer with another take. Alabama will have 10 players drafted in the top two rounds. His 10 are Tua, Judy, Smith, Ruggs, Leatherwood, and Wills, Terrell Lewis, Raekwon Davis, Xavier McKinney, Dylan Moses, with maybes including Shaheem Carter, Anthony Jennings, and Harris.
Man, I had 7 in my first round yesterday. Yeah, they're getting to 10 in the first two rounds. I think so. That's crazy, though, right? A sixth of the top 62 picks are going to come from one school. I think it's going to happen. I do. All right, last one here from Bull Bittler. This is juicy, Kyle. Robert Salas, front seven in New York. This is assuming he becomes the next head coach of the New York Giants is what I'm guessing here. Will be better than his current front seven with the 49ers after signing Yannick Ngakoue and drafting Chase Young and Moses/Murray. So that
Dylan
would be
Moses or Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, with the second round pick. So
all right. So the front seven in the 49ers right now is maybe the best playing defensive line in football.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas. Really good
Ronald
group
Blair.
Of five.
Ronald Gotta mention Blair. Ronald Blair. Yep. Key. Yep.
Please forgive me.
Yep.
Linebackers. Fred Warner's been a stud. So if I took those seven players, understanding that it's not the full front seven, but just identifying some of their best players, and we think about what the Giants have, we're talking about they're probably going to extend Leonard Williams. We got Dalvin Tomlinson. In this hypothetical, they would have Yannick Ngakoue and Chase Young. Yep. Holy shit, that's a scary defensive line.
Yeah.
And then Dylan Moses or Kenneth Murray in the second round behind him.
So let's.
It's got potential to be.
Yannick Ngakoue and Chase Young versus Bosa and Ford. Who are you taking?
Yannick and Chase.
All right. Dalvin Tomlinson, Dexter Lawrence, BJ Hill, Leonard Williams versus.
I'm taking the 49ers interior.
With Buckner, Armstead, Jones. Yeah,
Buckner is so head and shoulders above anybody that I know Dalvin Tomlinson is really good against the run, but I would take Buckner head and shoulders above anybody that they have inside.
Let's assume a healthy Quan Alexander. So Quan Alexander, Fred Warner, that's their top two guys. I mean, I know they play Al-Shahir and Greenlaw. So let's just do the top two linebackers. Warner and Alexander versus Moses/Murray and Ogletree/Mayo. I know Carter's a rush end.
What a painful second. Quan got so overpaid to go to San Francisco.
Yeah, but if he's healthy, and him and Warner's probably better than the Giants, right?
He can't tackle consistently.
He never has, right? It's always been
a problem. It bothers me. But Ogletree can't tackle either. So.
Right. Three games a year, though, man.
I would take the asset that I know in Fred Warner over the asset that I don't, assuming, because either Moses or Murray would have to be the top linebacker on the Giants group.
Is there a belief that Pat Shurmur's on his way out with the Giants?
He should be.
So that's really what gets interesting to me here is like, we're assuming Robert Saleh to the Giants.
Which is so delicious because that's like half the reason why there was so much appeal for Daniel Jones, right? It's like, well, it's a continuation of the same offensive system that Eli ran and Shurmur can run and work with him, and now the team is 2-8. And
Pat Shurmur is such a dud, Kyle.
And here's the thing: he's nothing we didn't already think he was going to be.
But I think my favorite thing about the scouting combine last year was being in the press conference area and having the opportunity to attend every general manager and NFL head coach's press conference and getting a feel for these men. And you want to talk about the dud of duds? It was when Pat Shurmur came to the podium. I'm like, is this for real? Like, I was more inspired by, like, Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury.
You know, this is going to hurt you, but I actually thoroughly enjoyed Doug Marrone's press conference that year.
Screw that guy.
I understand you don't like Doug because of the way things ended in Buffalo, but Doug, I thought, was very candid. I enjoyed hearing him talk. I enjoyed hearing some of his philosophies on football and team building, and that's what the combine opportunity to speak is. And what stood out to you in a bad way about Pat Shurmur?
Everything. What about that guy? If you saw that guy at the grocery store, so he said he was an NFL head coach, you'd be like, no, that guy's like is a bookkeeper for an insurance accountant. Company. Yeah, like no, you gotta have some presence about yourself, right? Like,
so he just doesn't command a room the way that
you do. No, and I think that's important. I mean, I've been involved in hiring for a long time. And I just, you kind of get a feel for people right away, what type of energy they have, you know, what, how they're, you know, just how they tick and those types of things. Like, you get around Pat Shurmur and you're just, there's nothing. It's just nothing.
Well, and that's a testament to why some guys can be good play callers, but not CEOs of teams.
Right.
And the way the Giants have played this year has been a train wreck. They took a running back in the second round who, granted, he's had the high ankle thing that he's been playing through, but I just keep waiting for the Giants to decide to use Saquon Barkley in the passing game.
I think that's, you know what, Kyle? There's something to, like, certain teams just do a better job with that. I don't know what it is, but I think, like, I've watched Bills football for a long time, too, and I think, man, they should get these backs more involved in the passing game. But there's something about the reason that it doesn't happen. But, I mean, going back to, like Tyrod days and shit. Like, why can't some teams get their backs involved in the passing game and others can't?
No idea.
There's something. It's not, like, it's not that easy. I know it's not that easy. But Jim Harbaugh. He was my guy, man. I resonated with him. I was just like glued to every word he said.
It's going to do it for us today on the show. Hope you guys enjoyed Takes on Takes. As always, we brought the heat. You guys brought the heat because you had a lot of great takes for us today. Hope you enjoyed. Come on back tomorrow. Joe, is it water cooler? We got anything fun planned?
It's always. It'll be
You're
fun.
Just going to have to come back and find out what it is, though.
Yeah.
Big tease. Come on back. We're going to leave you on the cliffhanger. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draftees Podcast.